Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, for Memorial Day, I could think of no one that I would rather have on the show than this young lady's dad, Cleve McCleary. However, though he was willing to come on the show, the logistics were a challenge, and his wife said, "Well, you ought to talk to my daughter." So I went to her website, and I thought, yeah, that's exactly what I need to do. We are delighted to have Tara with us today. Tara McCleary Reeves is a wonderful sister in Christ. She has a tremendous ministry of her own, and yet she graciously agreed not only to talk with us today, but to share some of her dad's story as well, because I was particularly eager for folks to hear about Cleve's experience. Her dad is Cleve McCleary, and if you're not familiar with his story, you'll learn some of it today, but you need to follow up and learn more on your own. Part of his story, a vital part of his story that has everything to do with Memorial Day, is how God intervened to save his life through the actions of a private named Ralph Johnson.
Yes.
If you would, Tara, share some of that story with us.
Delighted to, Dr. Wood, and thank you for your love for Jesus Christ first and then our country. We are just blessed to be able to celebrate this special weekend with you and Memorial Day. I think it's important for your audience to understand the difference. A lot of people confuse Veterans Day with Memorial Day, and they are starkly, starkly different. And I do want to make sure that we make that difference known. Veterans Day is to honor those brave men and women who are still alive with us, who have served our country so valiantly.
Yes.
Memorial Day is set apart to honor those who are no longer with us, those who did give their lives in service to our great country and for the freedoms that you and I have to even say the name of Jesus without having a gun held to our head right now. So Dad, the year was 1968. My mother and father had actually gotten married 6 months before my dad volunteered to go to Vietnam, Dr. Wood. He was actually 26 years old. He was the old man in his platoon. He was actually coaching at the University of South Carolina. And during the 60s, protests were very common stateside against the Vietnam War, sadly. And so Dad saw a protest on a college campus that outraged him. He saw somebody burn the American flag. Mm-hmm. 3 days later, he went into Coach Dietzel's office and he said, "I am signing up for the Marine Corps." And Coach Dietzel said, "You are crazy." And about a week later, when Daddy met his DI at Paris Island, he said, "Coach Dietzel, you're right, I'm crazy." But Dad does not apologize for serving. He thinks that this country is worth living for, it's worth dying for.
Yeah.
And being a college graduate, of course, he immediately flew through basic training and was made an officer. And so he went to Quantico, Virginia, finished up his officer training there. And then they flew him over to Vietnam. Daddy was on his 19th patrol, Dr. Wood, 19th patrol. He actually volunteered for this patrol because one of his men was getting married and Daddy did not want him to risk in any way his life to miss some being with his future bride. So Dad volunteered for Jim Barta's patrol and he took 13 men on Hill 146. Now you probably, because you're so knowledgeable about everything, you're familiar with the terrain in Vietnam. It was almost like a jungle situation. The foliage was very dense, and that's why the government would dump chemicals like Agent Orange to kind of decrease that foliage so we could see the enemy better than we did. And so Daddy can remember nights where he was just soaked in that chemical mixture, which has caused a lot of lung problems for a lot of our veterans. They just have suffered so much. Daddy is very young looking for eight. He'll be 81 November 30th. And I've often said, well, Daddy, they may need to do some research on that as a preservative because he doesn't look his age for sure. But he had taken 13 men on that hill and he wanted to bring 13 back. They were surrounded that night by the enemy. Daddy had his radio man call in for air support, giving their position. And the clouds were so dense that the helicopter chopper's pilot said, we can't get there till daylight. Mm-hmm. And Dad said, well, forget it, because there's not going to be anybody here at daylight if you delay. And thank the Lord, the chopper pilots did reconsider and they flew in. But by that time, Dad's men had already been attacked. And Daddy actually fell into a punji pit, which blew him out. And he realized when he reached back for his Winchester Model 12 pump, he realized that the blast had blown his left arm off right above the elbow. Daddy crawled toward his men because he was calling out orders still, trying to protect. He wanted to bring all 13 back when another grenade came in. And that's when Daddy witnessed PFC Ralph Johnson, an 18-year-old Marine from Charleston, South Carolina. He and Daddy, as the Lord would have it, they were both from the Lowcountry of South Carolina. And Ralph smothered that grenade with his stomach and blew himself in half to save the rest of the men that were alive on that hilltop. Tom Jennings was the other young man that was killed that night. Mm-hmm. The chopper pilots, and then the blast, of course, blew my dad's his left eye out because his arm was already gone. So this right hand really God used to protect the one good eye that Dad has today. You've met him and you see that beautiful smile on his face. He just is so grateful to be alive. But Dr. Wood, what I respect so much about my dad and for his love for our country and for those men, not a day has passed that my dad has not recognized the sacrifice of Ralph Johnson and Tom Jennings as well. They flew Dad to a field hospital where they really tried to stabilize him before he went on to Barbell Mountain and then later Bethesda Naval Hospital. And while in recovery, Dad actually suggested that the government award Ralph the Medal of Honor, the Congressional Medal of Honor, which is the highest award that a military man can receive. And he was awarded that posthumously. Mm-hmm. And then in the 1980s, my dad was a friend of then Governor Jim Edwards of South Carolina. Dr. Edwards loved my dad so much and wanted to name something in my dad's honor. And my dad said, the only way you can honor me is if you honor Ralph. And Daddy suggested that they name the VA hospital in Charleston, South Carolina, after Ralph. And that gesture was actually done in the early 90s. So if you are ever in Charleston, South Carolina, and you see the Ralph H. Johnson VA hospital, that is in honor of the Black Marine that jumped on the grenade to save my dad and his men on that March 3rd, 1968 night. And Dr. Wood, in 2018, on March 24th, 2018, there was a destroyer, an Ashley Burke destroyer, that was also commissioned under Ralph's name. So there is a Ralph H. Johnson destroyer that's now serving our country on the high seas.
Tremendous. You know, when we celebrate Memorial Day, if we celebrate it rightly, it is about those who were willing to lay down their lives, which Jesus said, there's no greater love than that, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And of course, there is no sacrifice that has ever been as great as our Lord Jesus.
That's right.
All of the human sacrifices that have been made, all the expressions of love, ultimately, if we know where to look, point us to the one who is love.
Yes.
And who gave his life so that we could have life.
Yeah, amen. And Dr. Wood, I do want to say, and Daddy and I have had this conversation just in the many miles that we've traveled together, and in God's sovereignty, Ralph at the time knew the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Mm-hmm. And my dad did not. Mm. My dad had been raised in the church his whole life. You've heard his testimony, and he jokes that he had gone to church ever since 9 months before he was born, because that's what his mom and dad wanted him to do.
Yeah.
He had a lot of church and religion in his head, but he needed a Savior in his heart.
Amen.
He said he was so good, he was good for nothing, going straight to hell. And he said that night, he said, Tara, if I had died on that hill that night, I would have split hell wide open. Mm. He said, you know, so many people told me I was a Christian that I thought I was. Mm-hmm. And he said that he wasn't. And, you know, for the Lord to allow the selflessness of Ralph, and I do think in just hindsight and studying and hearing from his sister about how much she loved Jesus, that's selfless. And I don't know if, because he and this was the first patrol that he and Dad served together, so they didn't know each other that well. But Ralph, I think, loved the Lord so much, which gave him just a compassion for others.
Yes.
To that extreme. So I look forward to one day just giving Ralph Johnson the biggest hug. And how the Lord spared my father on that hill. And then he comes back stateside and hears the gospel presentation in a way that the Holy Spirit used to touch his heart and transform him into a true child of God.
Yes.
And, you know, that Dad, from that day in 1969, when he prayed to receive Christ, how the Lord has used his life to just share his testimony just day after day after day after day so faithfully, knowing why the Lord spared him on that hill. I mean, just the testimony of just that, the whole aspect of the Lord and just why we're here is not about us. It's about Jesus.
Amen. Tara, you're an author. You've written some wonder, not just articles, but you're a book author, and the Lord has used that to touch a lot of people's lives. But you also have your own podcast, and I'd love for you to share a little bit about that with our listeners.
Well, I'd really like to invite you to come on that podcast.
I'd be happy to.
You know, that was actually born out of the pandemic. It was the first week of quarantine. And several speaking engagements that I had to some women's groups that I had scheduled, that the Lord had, you know, just wiped that slate clean with the quarantine. And my husband, who is just such an incredible encourager and supporter, said, you know, I think we need to use technology in a way that will encourage those groups. And so we started a podcast called Point Me to Jesus. And what I did was just really pray about guests that are using their lives to point others to Jesus. And so that's kind of, I really thought about disbanding it in January of this year, but the Lord keeps bringing amazing people like you into my life that other people need to know about. So until he makes it clear that I need to cease that, I'm doing it. I'm doing it not on a weekly basis, but almost a monthly basis, but would love to host you on there. But that's been an exciting and a wonderful, very similar to the way I was raised, Dr. Wood. And I know that you and your beautiful bride raised your children. Mom and Dad always sought to put my sister and me around other godly families that were using God's word as the rule book and the guidepost for life that it is, and putting us in connection with those other people. So I kind of want to do this on that podcast as well, just to introduce people to others that are living their lives biblically.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. When you talk about pointing people to Jesus, If you come and visit our chapel here at Ware's Valley Ranch, you'll see a mural up behind the pulpit along the back wall. That means when folks are looking up there to hear me preach or hear one of our other speakers, they're seeing this wonderful mural up above us that is portrays the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children. Mm-hmm. And central to the picture is a man with a beard who's down on one knee. He's got his arm around a little boy and he's pointing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people look at that because you know, they don't know what it's about. They'll say, who is Jesus pointing to? And the answer is that's not Jesus. That's Andrew, the disciple
yeah.
who was famous for bringing people to Jesus.
Yes. He's one of my favorites.
People, yeah. One of the people he brought was the little boy. The five loaves and two fish.
That's right.
And so he is down on one knee pointing that little boy to Jesus. And that is what this ministry is all about.
Yes.
Our goal, whether we're working with the children in our children's home and school, or whether we're in the counseling ministry mm-hmm. here, or whether it's on this broadcast, whatever we do, the goal is to be pointing people to Jesus, because I can't save anybody.
No.
But Jesus will save all who come to him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Will be saved. And amen.
I love the way that you shared your dad's testimony of thinking he was a Christian because other people thought he was a Christian
yep.
because he was a good guy and he went to church. And,
yeah.
you know, I tell our folks, the devil doesn't have any doubts about biblical authority or accuracy or whether or not the miracles really happened. You know, the devil knows it's real. He even knows there's a real devil.
Yeah.
But he has never yielded his life to Jesus. Mm-hmm. He doesn't love the Lord. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who believe good doctrine.
Yeah.
They genuinely believe it's true. So does the devil.
Yeah.
James talks about this when he says, you say you believe in God? Good for you. The demons believe and tremble.
Yeah.
It's not enough, as you described, to have an intellectual faith.
Mm-mm.
You've got to have Jesus in your heart. You've got to have him in your life.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was a little boy and I believed what my parents taught me. My parents made it believable. They lived what they believed. They put yeah. it into practice. They kept their word. When they said that there is law and if you break it, there's punishment, they practiced that too. So I found everything they taught me about Jesus totally believable. Yeah. I knew I was a sinner. I believed Jesus had died on the cross to pay for my sins.
Yeah.
I believed that he rose from the dead, but I'd never responded to him at all. I was still treating him like a concept. Mm-hmm. I was treating him as if he was somebody who lived and died, and now we can remember him.
Yeah.
I'm sure I recited some little prayers, you know, thanking God for food or whatever I was being taught. I may have said, now I lay me down to sleep. But again, I wasn't talking to God.
Yeah.
I was reciting what I was told to say.
Yeah.
And one night as a child, I was in bed, in the room by myself. And suddenly, as I was drifting off to sleep, I was kind of startled awake, not by a sound, but by the Holy Spirit. And I thought to myself at that time, I was a little kid, but it was my whole life. I said, all these years I've known about the Lord, but I've never asked him to save me.
Yeah.
If I had died tonight, I would have gone to hell.
Yeah.
And I prayed immediately and I just asked the Lord to save me. I didn't make some big speech. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a course in theology that I needed to complete first.
That's right.
I just needed to reach out to him and ask him in mercy and grace to save me. And he did. Yeah. And the reason I know he did is because instantly the room was filled with light and I could hear a chorus of angels. No, no, nothing
like
that.
Your experience was different than mine.
Yeah, nothing like that happened. No. What happened was God kept his promise, just like he always does.
He does.
And I thank God because of the Holy Spirit, believed him. I trusted him. And that's saving faith. When you trust him to save you and to rule your life.
Yes.
Why in the world would you trust him to keep you from hell by laying down his life and yet not trust him to know what's best for you and to want what's best for you? So, you know, I have not always lived a perfect life, but God has always been perfect at saving me, at guiding me, at providing for me, at correcting me and disciplining me when I'm wrong, drawing me back to himself. He is faithful, even when we are not.
Yes.
And so your dad is a beautiful picture of a guy who thought he was a Christian and almost lost his life.
Yeah.
And yet through another picture of the gospel with Ralph Johnson laying down his life in order to save others, your dad was prepared by God to hear the gospel in a fresh way.
Yes.
And when he trusted Jesus, he didn't trust him part way.
No.
He trusted him wholeheartedly. Yeah. And he has lived wholeheartedly for Jesus. And I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful for the way that that faith is now radiant in you. And you are seeking to point people to Jesus, the one who saves, the one who gives life, the one who is life.
Yeah. Well, and there's never been a grandchild of God, so I couldn't adopt my mom and dad's faith either. So I was 5 when you may have been at the full gospel men's breakfast where my dad shared his testimony and shared the gospel at the end of his presentation. I was in the back of the room and I literally can remember it like it was yesterday, Dr. Wood, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the conviction at 5 years old.
Yes.
I knew that I pulled my sister's hair out of anger and I didn't, you know, I didn't think twice about it sometimes. So I knew I was a sinner.
Yes.
At that little age, I knew that I was born with a genetic sin structure. My parents had explained that so well to me. And it was at that age where the connection was made. And I realized that I needed to personally invite the Lord Jesus, accept his invitation and ask him to come in and be Savior and Lord of my life. And I prayed with my dad that morning, and then my mother, and when we got in the car, went through the scriptures again just to make sure. She wanted to make sure that I was not doing it to get the attention of everybody in the audience or whatever. You know, they were very sensitive to the foundational elements that just, you know, just they wanted to make sure that I was not doing it for the wrong reasons. But I really understood why Jesus came, what he has done for me and what he does for me on a daily basis, that he's alive and his Holy Spirit is alive in my life and that fruit that that is evident. So I'm so grateful for their intentionality with that and understanding and their explanation, but it's as simple, it is. And that's why the Lord says, suffer the little children to come unto me, because our hearts are so open. So parents who are listening, constantly talk to your children about their sin nature and their need of a savior and who Jesus is and why he came. And it's so important. And another thing too, Dr. Wood, I'm sure you and your wife did this, but when people would come up to mom and dad after they shared at a church or whatever meeting, I would hear this. There were lines of sweet little ladies that would come up and say, what can we do for your ministry? How can we bless your ministry? Do you know what my mother's response to that was?
I want to hear
Pray for my girls. Pray for Krista. Pray for Tara. And so often throughout my day, I can envision those ladies in assisted living places that, you know, yes. feel isolated and, you mm-hmm. know, what they're, the difference that they have made in my life, their faithfulness to pray for my sister and me. And I'm just so grateful for that gift of intercession and for these women that realize the high calling that they have. They may not yeah. have a social media following. They may not have a call, but maybe once a month from a family member or a friend, but they have an audience with the King of Kings every hour. And so I'm a product of those prayers. And I'm grateful for parents that realize that.
Amen. That's beautiful. We certainly have always told people when they say, what can we do? We say, please pray for us. And yes. I think our children have not only benefited from the prayers that people have offered on behalf of our family, but I am absolutely sure that my wife and I and our other kids have benefited from prayers for our family that started when our first child was born. Our yeah. oldest boy was born with severe birth defects. Mm. He's at age 43, he's had over 40 surgeries. Wow. And so people started, when he was first born, thousands of people heard about him and started praying for us. They prayed for him, but they prayed for his parents too. And I believe without a doubt, one of the reasons that we have been so marvelously blessed across the years is because people started praying for us as never before when our first child was born. So absolutely encourage yeah. folks to pray for your kids. And don't fail to do it yourselves.
Absolutely not. No.
Don't leave it to others, but encourage others to pray for your kids yeah. and encourage kids to pray for you. When I go places and folks say, you know, what can we do? I'll often look at the children and say, would you be willing to include me in your nightly prayers?
The power is not in the prayers. It's the one we're praying to. That's where
exactly.
the power is.
Exactly. And, but I think he pays special attention when children pray. So I encourage folks, yeah. whatever your age, go to the Lord in prayer and intercede on behalf of others. And know that when you do, you are joining in the high priestly ministry of our Lord Jesus, whoever lives to make intercession for us. Tara, thank you so much for coming on the broadcast. And please know that I would love an opportunity to share with you another time. And I hope you'll come and visit the ranch someday.
I look forward to it. Thank you for the ministry you do there and happy Memorial Day. Thank you for remembering what it's truly all about. And you know, you do such a great job through your ministry encouraging community. And don't you think, Dr. Wood, the military is such a beautiful reflection of that community, loving brothers, despite what color they are or despite what background they have. Their uniforms are all the same color and their blood bleeds that same beautiful red. And I think everybody listening today on Memorial Day, when you put your hand over your heart, this is what my mom always instructed us to do. Press a little more firmly today as you're singing the national anthem and you can feel your heartbeat beating and realize that there are those men and women whose hearts are no longer beating to yes. give us the privilege that we have to worship the way we worship today, to serve the way that we serve today, and to just have the blessing of this incredible country that we have.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tara. God bless you.
Thank you, and God bless you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.